Recorded live from Stockton, California, this is Jammin' with the Best.
Oh, it's always great to hear Crash's voice.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. It means we're on the mics, most likely. He's been coming around a little bit more.
Yeah,
we just got to get him also to hop on the mics when he's here.
It is good to see him.
Get his face on video.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He hasn't done that yet.
Really? When's the last time he was on a podcast?
A year.
Beverly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, who?
Crash.
No,
Crash.
But Beverly Place. The old shop.
Was the last time he was on a podcast?
I think so, well, right?
Yeah. Has to be.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that. Come on, Crash.
Yeah.
His voice is still a staple, but.
It's mm-hmm. true. That is the intro.
First voice you hear, and you don't hear it again.
Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's okay. Disc golf is back, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, Thursday. It's so exciting.
We watched live disc golf at the shop again.
Mm-hmm.
It's been since October, right? Pro Tour Championship was the last.
October. Yeah. Sounds right.
The off season felt pretty short, I feel like, but time just flies these days, you know?
Yeah, I'm not a good judge of time. Some things seem really long time ago and some don't.
Yeah.
I feel like the disc golf off season in general is pretty short, and especially the last 2 years, it's been very exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For an off season.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of moves.
It doesn't slow, like it does slow down. You know, it's, I think peak season is probably, like for sales wise, is probably in the next like 2-3 months, maybe. When's Worlds this year? Like June, July, August? It kind of hovers around those 3 months. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't either.
But that's probably like the hottest time. But man, it really doesn't slow down that much in the off season.
No.
I think you see less like releases. Yep. And so, you know, it slows down in that sense. But
Christmas helps.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it helps that we're in California too, and that mm-hmm. you know, a lot of the country you can play year round. Not everybody's so lucky, but
it's. I mean, disc golf is somewhat like baseball, where the warmer states will start like aggregating courses more, mm-hmm. just because they can play all year round. Mm-hmm. It's hard to play in the snow. I know people do it, but
they do. Man.
I wouldn't.
Can't imagine.
I said I barely like playing when it's like below 60.
That's how spoiled we are.
It's true.
It hurts my
fair
fingers,
man. Golfers.
I'm a little baby. Soft hands.
Yeah, especially on that forehand rip. Hard to do early in the morning in the cold.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to do that at all.
Yeah, the fingers can hurt for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you got to have a hand warmer at that point.
I'd be wearing gloves if I had to play in the cold.
If it's snow, for sure.
Yeah. What brand is that makes those again?
The Friction?
Yeah, there we go. Friction mm-hmm. gloves.
Yeah, I wonder how they do with warmth. Like, it's got to be an improvement, but, you know, mm-hmm. it's made for, I think, traction in wet more than, like, warmth or, like, a very consistent, you know, traction. Mm-hmm. I like the concept of it, but I still haven't ever tried one. I like the feel, you know?
If they made it thin enough, I think I could get behind it.
Sure.
I gotta imagine it'd be a miss to not make it thin enough. Especially
mm-hmm. It'd be hard.
Although it's mostly not for disc golf, right? It's for ultimate.
Is it?
I think it's ultimate, but Ezra was throwing them, and they're marketing mm-hmm. to disc golf now.
Yeah, 100% marketing to disc
should.
Golf.
I'm a touch surprised we don't carry them, and I feel like we should. Especially going into
about
the next
it.
Winter season.
I remember talking about it. I don't know if it ever happened.
Mm-hmm. I think they hit us up too, and there just wasn't enough interest yet. But honestly, I'd like to try a pair, and I think they would sell. Like, there's no reason not to.
Right.
We just get busy and or, I don't know.
So many things in the pipeline.
100%, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm so hyper-focused on discs. I was talking to Sap about that yesterday when he was messing with the apparel
mm-hmm.
Next door, and it's all moving into, you know, our newer facility, I guess. It's a weird way to put it, but basically it's just storage.
The addition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the addition. And so we're moving all the apparel out to make room for, you know, more discs. And, like, I had no idea we had so much apparel.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It is.
It's a lot. And me and Mark, like, keep wanting to tackle a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, get some more, not necessarily just apparel, but, like, other little knick-knack things that people like and want to add on their orders. And
yeah. Well, and this is for sure one of them, the gloves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, people will go like, I need to spend $72.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Especially if it's script.
And they find $60 a disc worth they want, and they're like, all right, I got like $10 more to spend. Let's let's find something.
Let me type in accessories. What do you guys got?
Yeah,
we gave nail clippers to somebody in a mystery box.
Yep.
And he sent us an email, and he's like, dude, how did you know that I needed nail clippers? Yeah, I kept forgetting to buy them.
That's great.
Yeah, he was pumped.
It'd be cool to find a little bit nicer nail clippers than those, too.
Yeah.
They're not bad.
No, it was our first try. They're fine.
They're not. I would like the little tool in there. What's it called? Like the file?
Okay.
Yeah. The emery board, the metal version. Yeah. I don't even know if it's still an emery board at that point.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know I've always liked carrying nail clippers when I smash a tree, which is an inevitable thing, and then being able to clip off the little shitty part of the disc.
Yeah, it's nice for the disc, and then obviously to trim the nails.
Mm-hmm. Is that technically manipulating a disc?
Probably.
Which is against the rule. That's the PDGA rule. You're not allowed to manipulate the
disc. Yeah, I think
disc.
Sam's barred from PDGA events.
Yeah.
Well, Sexton's talked about carrying nail clippers.
Sandpaper, too, maybe? Somebody?
Yeah, ooh. And I also feel like somebody talked about melting the thing.
Yeah.
I've done it.
I feel like melting it's probably the worst of the three.
Yeah. I remember throwing a big old Spikeheiser and landing on top of a basket that had one of those little circular roundy thingies and sliced into my disc and melted it back because it was a nice disc and I liked it.
Yeah. The number plate.
For a long time.
The number plate, especially without the rubber like thing around it, can wreak havoc on
the disc. It wasn't the number plate. It was one of those Innova baskets, a temp basket that had like just the round cylinder.
Oh, the Disc Catcher Sport.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Just right on top. Clink.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah.
Vegas is an interesting course to watch.
It is. Yeah, let me run through the scores real quick. Dickerson, 11. Eagle, 10. Ganniber, 10. Seppo, 9 is your lead card. And then Rick, K. Jones, Heimberg, and Hamas, Chase. Dude, there's so many people at 9.
So many.
That's nuts.
They were talking about how easy the course was, like comparatively. Yeah. I mean,
I honestly, if it was that easy, people should have shot better, though, too. Like, 11's not that crazy for Disc Golf Pro Tour.
I think what they probably meant by easy is there's, like, every hole's birdieable.
Sure.
But also, at the same time, there's, like, a little bit of danger with the hills and the sand. So you're going to take a bogey or two. Mm-hmm. But, like, everyone can birdie. Like, you're going to be a lot of birdies. A lot of, like, a bad score is going to be 7 birdies on the card.
Yeah.
Like, with 2-3 bogeys.
Yeah, I remember I got to tune in here and there. I had it kind of in the background of my browser. Thank you, Sean Jack. And and I just remember not seeing anybody really throwing hard.
No, they say these are 3 of the 5 shortest courses of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is 3 courses to practice is why Paul's not there, right?
Mm-hmm.
At least one of the reasons. Yeah.
That's the rumor.
Yeah. FPO side, Paige, Kat, Tatar, Natalie Ryan, Evelina, Emily Beach, Rebecca Cox, Sarah Hokum is your chase. And
Paige and Kat still on top.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another year.
Ballers.
It's interesting. For a while, it looked like the Euro women weren't playing that great. And then they kind of stormed back at the end of the round.
Little slow start, I guess. Mm-hmm. Same with Linus.
Yeah.
I mean, just basically bogeyed the first hole and then went on a tear.
Yeah.
And then he finished, I don't know what, somewhere in the 5 to 8 range.
Yeah, right. I think it was like 6 or 7.
There's a lot of people. Like, obviously, there was a ton of people at 9. It is thick from, like, 9 to 4, basically.
Yep.
And they've all still got thick. A chance.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Dickerson, west of the Mississippi.
Yeah, I like it. I hope he somehow ends up at OTB Open.
That would be nice.
I was stoked. I told Sammy. I walked out there. I'm like, dude, the Euros are signed up for OTB Open. At least the MPO ones. There's no FPO international players at all signed up.
Yeah, which is so sad.
It's all U.S. women.
They're mostly leaving after DDO, right?
Yeah. Mm. But like Linus and there was like a Tam, I'm pretty sure. There was like 5 MPO Euro players signed up for OTB Open when I last checked. I was pretty stoked. That'll be cool.
Are they all on your fantasy team?
Probably.
That was a fun thing.
Yeah, we did the fantasy football draft yesterday. Yeah. Skip
fantasy
Ace.
Disc golf.
Fantasy disc golf. Nice. Yeah. Yep. Same thing, but with disc golf.
Different sport.
It just rolled off the tongue. It's natural. <does.
laughs> I'm going to look at OT Open Red right now. Yeah.
Our fantasy football disc golf draft was yesterday.
I was like the seventh out of 11 picks, and I went Dickerson, and then just like super Euro heavy. Yeah. Then later on, I was like, all right, I need young Americans that are going to play some later in the year.
You need some full tour players.
Yeah, I don't have many full tour players actually. It's like,
all right. You're if anything I've seen from you in fantasy, it's trading.
And oh, will and deal.
I feel moves. Like we're going to figure out a way to trade on this.
I already said Peter Lund or Lunda.
Lundy would Lundy? Be my guess.
I don't know. I've heard it said multiple ways.
Lunde.
He's on the trading block right now after the hot start. I didn't start him this week. I should have.
What round did you take him in?
The second to last.
Okay.
He was one of the dudes sitting there, and I'm like, if I didn't have four other European players right now, I would have drafted you a little while ago.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I was first overall pick, and I went Rick, but, like, could have easily gone, you know, two, three, four other players. I would have loved to have picked fourth, I think, which just in this one would have gone Heimberg, yeah.
Rick's kind of the consensus number one.
Yeah. Yeah, he just plays a lot, was super consistent. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's like, because Eagle's going to take a few off. Paul's going to take a few off. Calvin will probably play most of it, but Rick's got, you know, better pedigree.
All right.
Calvin, though.
International players for OTP Open. Casey Hanemeyer, Thomas Gilbert, Albert Tam, Christo Wright, Raik, Fino Makala, Lucas Rokanen. I don't even know how to say that one at all.
Give it a chance.
Nope.
Do it. Just roll it off the tongue.
Look at that, Sam.
I'll try. Which one?
It's like
you'll notice.
It's like, looks like Thomas.
Thomas one.
It's Tuomas or something like that.
Tuomas Hetianian.
Nailed it.
I think that's pretty close.
That was way closer than I would have got.
I'm very sorry if you're listening, and that was way off.
Lori Rettinen, Max, dude, that's a bunch of them, and then Linus is going to be there too. Nice. So one, two, three.
Linus rated?
1035.
Nasty.
Baller.
Yeah, he's got an interesting backhand form. He throws a lot of backhand. Mm-hmm. And on his power shots, he, like, reaches back and almost is like a second reach back.
Yeah.
He has, like, that wrist that
Schusterick
turns
thing.
Out.
It's like a little Schustericky.
Mm. Schusterick is a bendy player.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's a very unique form. I like it.
Dude, he was so good when he was up there.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Nasty.
Just raking in USDGC titles.
Yeah.
Was it four?
He put
three?
His three, I think.
Three?
Yeah. His lead foot toes faced behind him almost on his last step, and then he just sprang forward.
Super bendy.
Yep.
KJ reminds me a lot of that. Different form, but like as bendy.
Yep.
I think flexibility is huge in the sport.
I have none of it.
Mine's leaping. That's why I'm like trying to get myself in shape because it like disappeared.
I'm the least flexible person I know, I think.
I don't know about
feel like that about myself also, but.
Definitely ain't touching my toes.
Okay, never mind. I'm not,
your dad?
I'm more flexible than that.
I could touch my dad's toes. I think my dad's more flexible than I am. He stretches every day at least.
Yeah, this is true.
He's got a big beer belly. Shout out Pops. But
yeah,
Father Corbett.
Yeah, I'm not flexible at all. Have put no effort into it either, so there's no one to blame.
Yeah, stretching and just like dynamic exercises that make you more flexible are some of the hardest because they don't feel fun all the time.
Yeah, stretching can feel great.
Yes.
And it can also feel a chore.
Yeah.
And
when I feel like I'm making strides on stretching, it both hurts and I like it chore. I hate it.
Well, yeah. I feel like it's comparable to drinking the right amount of water every day where it's not that hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like that's like basic stretching. But like if you're stretching for sports purposes, you got to go a little harder than that.
Drink
like
more water.
Bubbly
water. That's a gallon of water.
It's like that bubbly water.
Then you're going to drown yourself.
You really don't want to do
I mean, that's not a gallon.
No, I know.
Yeah. Because you're supposed to drink, like, what, 64 ounces is eight-ounce cups?
I don't know. That's, like, what they say. And then you hear other people say, like, just drink as much water as your body tells you to drink.
Yeah. There's some days that there are many, many trips to the bathroom. Right now, I haven't done good enough today. I usually have at least one, like, 16-ounce cup before I come in. I've got the 40-ounce hydro and then, like, two cups at night. That's like standard if I'm doing all right, and then sometimes just pounding them.
I go like two hydros on a slow day,
damn,
and like four to five on a crazy hot workout, sweaty. Dude, I will pound like half a hydro like in the middle of the night. I'll just wake up and be like, oh, what the hell? I'm so thirsty. And just like chug water.
That's the drugs.
Well,
Thank you, weed.
It's funny how one of the signs of dehydration is not being thirsty.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you missed your window, you know?
Yeah.
It's like you were thirsty. Now you're not anymore.
You're going to have to force that shit down, and it's going to suck.
Yeah, I'm busy that day.
Yeah. Might as well drink beer.
I have something penciled in.
The only time I ever feel like I'm going to be dehydrated anymore is at a disc golf, a Windjammer tournament.
Yeah.
Yep.
I just start drinking beer at 8 in the morning, 7:30 in the morning. It's 8 in the morning. I'm not there at 7:30.
No, who am I kidding? Not many people
double fisting that shit.
Definitely start drinking beer, and then I go throw a bunch of Frisbees and sweat and...
Exert.
That's a good word.
We've got a beer coming for OTB Open.
Mm. Yeah. What's that?
That's exciting.
Triumvirate? Is that the right word?
I don't think so, but I think it'll also apply.
All right. We got three.
Don't know, though.
I thought it was like three things coming together as a triumvirate. Because that's what.
I hope so, man. We got the three
musketeers. I'm probably saying that word wrong also because I'm a dumbass.
Yeah, triumvirate, I feel like is the right word, is a word.
Let's see.
Yeah, Blaker Brewing.
Oh, never mind. I mean, it's sort of right.
That's kind
of
what I felt like. I don't think it's what you meant, but I think it applies.
No, it's what I meant. I was talking about three things.
Just doesn't
apply. It's in ancient Rome, a group of three men holding power, in particular the unofficial coalition of Julius Caesar, Pompey, and Crassus. I mean, you can say Steve, Jake, and Austin are a triumvirate of beer people.
So I think it's, I guess, Craig's. Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
So Austin's our contact, but Craig's the head brewer there.
Yep.
And so the three like big local breweries are collabing on this to make a special beer for the OTB Open.
Mm-hmm. All of our friend breweries too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're good.
They're really good.
It's the three really good breweries in the area.
Yeah,
Dust Bowl might be there too.
Dust Bowl is a little further, but definitely up there.
Sean Jack was saying I think they're going to sponsor a hole or something like that. So I asked Steve from High Water. I said, how well do you know those guys? He's like, I know the head brewer pretty well and their sales guy pretty well.
Dope.
So, yeah, they should all get along. But the three local ones will be making a beer. Single hop, IPA, low 6% probably.
Mm-hmm.
That's wise.
I'm excited to get – I got to send Jake Austin's number. That reminded me. They're going to get a group chat going.
Nice.
So.
Dude, I think they're going to be pretty excited about it. And it was just honestly, it's shout out to Thought Space.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Wilmot from Thought Space hit me up and said, are you guys doing a special beer? Like, hadn't even thought about it. And I think he might have, like, been trying to hook us up with the Maine brewery over there, Maine the state. But I don't know how that would have worked logistically, but he certainly got, like, the ball rolling in my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make a couple calls, and now it's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty easy for us. I talk to Jake multiple times a week and Austin once a week at probably.
We have the connections.
Yeah,
basically. So we'll do, I think a 15-barrel batch, which will produce roughly, with spill-off or whatever the term is, 12 barrels. And so that'll be 24 of those big kegs.
Yep.
Nice.
And we'll pour it at barrels. OTB Open, at the course, more than likely. The golf course itself, since it's at a golf course, we'll be buying basically the beer from Morgan and pouring it. We have to work out the logistics because obviously we can't buy and sell beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really care to make any money on it. I just thought it would be really fun.
It'd be really fun and just cool to have get the disc golf name out there and have three different breweries be able to be like, hey, go to the OTB Open and get this beer if you want.
Yeah. And 2,000 spectators or whatever, and they're all seeing their branding, and pretty much everybody that's coming is local-ish. I think it probably pulls from anywhere from San Francisco, Sacramento, Fresno, Santa Cruz, kind of, 90-mile radius.
Reno. There's people from Reno there last year. So. Yeah. Yeah.
That'll be fun.
That'll be super fun.
We get a beer.
Yeah. We got to have at least two kegs here.
100%.
Easy.
100%. I think High Water will want some to pour. Morgan Territory will want some to pour in their tap room. I don't know. Blaker very well might too. Mm-hmm. I don't know the rules. And Taps might. And we certainly want some here.
Yeah.
So I think the barrels will go pretty easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cast Iron might. Better be good.
I hope so. Better be good.
It's going to make a bunch of shitty beer. Well, we tried. Sorry, everybody. It'll half price.
It'll still go.
Yeah.
If it comes out shitty, then our friends are all fired.
Yeah. Dude, that would be so sad. I think I would lie. I think I would lie to them. I wouldn't lie to you. People listening, I wouldn't lie to you. I will lie to my friends, though.
So I would lie to Jake and Austin and Steve.
Yeah. Drinkable. It's got some notes.
I've told Jake.
Man, that's cold.
I've told Jake a couple of his beers were bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, early on, I was like, I didn't like this. Like, it did not at all.
I think it's important. You have to be able to tell your friends they suck.
The first beer I ever tried from Jake, though, was an amber ale at Channels, the one that won the bunch of awards.
Driftwood?
Yep.
Was that their amber?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, I had it and I was like, oh, that's really damn good. And it was the first beer he ever like produced to sell, I think.
Yeah.
He had made a bunch of beer on his own. Mm-hmm. But this was like his recipe. And I'm like, damn, that's really good, Jake.
Yeah, it's nice to be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
By something. I think we were talking about that with music earlier. We were talking about Ezra Happner. And I think somebody asked.
He balled today.
He started off hot. I don't know how he finished.
I think it's like six.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Santa Cruz kid. He's just basically getting into open now. But makes his own music too, and it's good. Yeah. Like, I like it.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like lo-fi storytelling rap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think he makes the beats, but all the lyrics and just he's got good flow.
Yep.
I think his flow is solid. And it's again, it's like just going back to the point of your friends. And doing something that you see often on a massive scale, like music, like beer creation, and is, you know, very artistic and creative. And, like, honestly, there's a certain sense of vulnerability putting it out there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. And so, yeah, it's cool that some of our friends are actually talented because most of them are fucking useless.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Steve Spiffler, too. Like, the first time I heard his raps, I was like, damn.
This is That's actually good.
Hella good.
You are not useless.
And he makes his beats. He makes his raps. Like, yeah, he does it all. He has a song he produced for one of his friends that's now, like, it was like the main song for some giant-ass movie.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I saw it, and I was like, I know all those actors. And, like, he's, like, pumping. Something on Netflix. I think it's out now.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. I'll find out and...
That's dope. You got to imagine that opens up avenues for him. If someone hears it and they just like it, and they go, okay, who is this?
Yeah,
you
who know? Made that beat?
It
who
takes did? One person. There's, you know, like 200 minimum, like important, you know, rappers in the world, like big, big time.
Yep.
Minimum, a shot in the dark guess. And like one of them hears it and likes it and looks you up. That's huge.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Good exposure for him.
Yeah. And we got this area. I mean, we're relatively close to the Bay Area. The hip hop culture here is kind of.
Yeah, East Bay. Yep.
Yeah. There are some people that say we're the Bay Area, and I don't.
We're the eastest of Bay.
Technically, the Bay Area comes here.
So they're saying, yeah, Delta's still out here.
Yeah. Yeah, the Delta is the Bay.
Yeah, it is one of the most inland.
The deepest inland port. I know that. Mm-hmm. We're pretty damn far inland, though.
Extremely. Yeah. I mean, at least like 60 miles as the bird flies.
Something like that.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah, just figure, like, it takes an hour and a half to get to
San Francisco if there's no traffic.
Yeah, that's not the best judge. Oh, dude, San Francisco played the glow round.
Oh,
that
That
was dope. Nice. On Tuesday, the 2-2-2 Tuesday. Thank you, Andy Rothschild, for running that. Played with Jer as my partner and then in the same group as Sean Jack and his partner, Jabir. That was so much fun. We teed off at 6 o'clock. We played probably, well, did the warm-up, had hail. So we got a little bit of that, and then it turned into raindrops, and it was a little windy. But by the time we were on, like, the second hole, there was no more rain. And then I think it was, like, the fourth tee pad maybe. It's dark.
Nice.
Yeah. That was dope. So, like, plenty of glow discs. We brought the glow box. Mm-hmm. I threw my MVP reactor a lot. That glow is so good.
It's, like, the perfect course to throw mid like that, too.
Yeah, mostly short. It was interesting. Didn't know where the trees were. So on some of them, it's just like, well, I think they're here. See if that glow light stops halfway through. But that was a lot of fun. Good time.
So speaking of Jer, he's texting me right now. He's doing a lot of math.
Oh, he's trying to figure out who's in what place?
Yeah, so he says, whoever Mighty Mav is, I think that might be Stanley. I don't know who it is. Mighty Mav, there's only 11 of us. 10 of them work here and one of them Sarge.
I know Ant was doing well. I think he totaled up. He said he was at like 132.
He's winning by 46 points, whoever Mighty Mav is.
What's wow.
And six have players out. Six of us have one at least one player in our starting lineup not playing.
Not me.
And three not have it. Two players out.
Not it. Jeez, all my players have are in two the players game. Out.
Yeah, I gotta imagine one. Stanley's one because he's on the road.
I started Lauri Lehtinen because I thought he was playing, but he's not playing till Waco, and I should have started. Who was it again? I forget now. Oh, yeah, Peter Lund, Lundy. Dude, there's some good Euros right now.
Yeah, I'm excited to see them compete against America's best.
Yeah, I wonder. Part of my thing is like I will never judge you like a international player not doing well right away.
Sure.
Yeah. For multiple reasons, like one,
travel's hard.
Travel's
crazy.
Two, adjusting to American culture has to be crazy, much different. And then three, like, I don't know, when I want to go travel, like, a lot of these people are young. When I was that age, I kind of wanted to go do things.
I'm doing like, some stuff.
Go party a little bit, go visit, especially in Vegas. Like, I want to go see the Strip. Yeah. I want to go see all these things. And I keep seeing, like, stories of people, and I'm like, oh, yeah, Paul's not doing that. Mm-hmm. Or Rick's not doing that.
Yeah. So, he's like, been there.
He's been there already. So I will never, the first few times they're ever, or they're over here, I would never, like.
There's a learning curve.
There's a learning curve, mm-hmm. for sure. So Jackie Chan bald also.
What did he finish at?
Six or seven, I think.
Yeah. He's on my team. Mm-hmm. So, I think my team's at, like, four down, five, 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 six, and nine or something like that. We start six people out of 11 I got spots.
Dickerson and who's in second right now? Also on my team?
Eagle.
Not Eagle.
Yeah.
It was. He was in second. I can't remember my team right now.
Yeah.
Seppo is doing well.
I haven't even looked at mine, honestly.
I looked. I just don't remember now. Where's UDisc?
Season is here. Dude, it was fun to watch the FPO card this morning with Paige and then, like, the three giants of Europe right now for that field.
It's crazy. Oh, Gannon Burr.
Oh, yeah.
I got Gannon Burr on my team.
Yeah, he did well.
There were so many guys like Gannon Burr, or I think, Sam, you picked up Cole Radalin.
No, like, I wish I did.
Someone else, it was like before my pick, I was bookend too, so I had 20 picks in between, and there's like those players go quick, and sometimes you think like a Zachariah Johnson, I'm like, oh, this will be a good pick in like round X, you know, and then they're gone.
Yeah.
You know? They get swooped up.
And then certain people fall, and I'm like, why'd you fall to me?
Yeah, I picked up Tristan Tanner late.
I picked up Gannon Burr in the third round, and he was going like early second in our other smaller league.
I don't think he did all that well, but I picked up Scott Withers, and I was just like, oh, wow, he is playing most of the tour.
Yeah.
He's super high-rated.
And he's a baller.
Yeah, he's good.
I'm excited to see how he does through the – I think he'll do well, especially on the West Coast end of the tour.
Yeah, he's an Oregon cat, right?
Yeah.
Oregon guy.
He to me is like the – like I remember Christian Dietrich is like the dude up in like Montana, that area. And I feel like Scott Withers is the younger but same dude. I don't know if he's younger or not, but
like Pacific Northwest.
Pacific Northwest dude. And Dickerson was that southeast dude.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you got like Sexton and Chandler Fry up there.
Mm-hmm.
I think a Kyle Crabtree. I think he might be south. There's someone else I'm thinking of, similar name, but like, yeah, there's three or four from that area, and then, you know, some of them are gonna tour quicker than others. So, yeah, he shredded up there.
Yeah, he just, like, wins all the A-tiers. Because, like, Sexton hasn't been up. I mean, he's up. Obviously, Sexton's better than Scott Withers. At least I think most people would agree with that.
Yeah. And then by how much is the real question? Because I think it's one of those where, Withers can beat him any day.
Yeah.
But, yeah, take Sexton probably, you know, 6-7 times out of 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he went off on tour, so, like, the dude that was winning everything up there was him, Withers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Withers started to tour a little bit more last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Signed with Resistance and Jeff Korns.
Yep.
And then definitely made a little splash last year. It was a little bit of a storyline for those that knew. Mm-hmm. Last year's like, all right, we get to see Scott on the road this year.
Yep. It'll be cool to see him settle down, like, once again, that same travel. Not as drastic coming from Europe over, but having to travel and, like, getting used to it.
Yeah, learning curve. Plus, the caliber of the event is different, you know?
Yeah, there's more eyes, way more eyes.
I think you might even feel that for, like, this first event of the season for a lot of people.
Yep. opening day type thing.
Yeah, like there's a lot of excitement around it, a lot of buildup. So much money was handed out this last offseason. If you ball out in any given season, like, you've got a payday coming.
Dude, I felt that way every first game of the year for, like, baseball.
Yeah. Like, it's a clean slate. Let's go.
There's, like, a weird energy.
Well, especially in a statistics-driven league like that.
Yeah.
The mustouts are fine right now. Yeah, whatever I do today is the, like, starting block.
Mm-hmm. It is weird how stat-driven baseball is.
You even heard Kevin Jones really talk about how wiggly his arm felt until 6-7 holes in.
Oh, yeah? I didn't hear that.
Makes sense. He was playing Fortnite all offseason. Yeah. He was getting baller at Fortnite.
Yeah. It's a good reminder about how even those top guys, like that first couple tournaments of the year, it still hits them with the jitters.
Brody talked about how hard it was because how cold it was in Virginia this year. And he's like, the first time he's ever spent like months just throwing into a net.
Yeah, because he was Texas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. Damn it. I was just thinking about something.
Damn, vitamins.
Yeah, it could have been. Something KJ related. But yeah, some people starting hot today, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Gannon is a great storyline for this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's he was the youngest 1,000-rated player ever at 14. Mm-hmm. I think he still currently has that record.
Yeah, was it Arlinghouse got close? There was another one. Who won AM Worlds? Like Isaac Robinson?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was 14 when he got 1,000-rated. So, yeah. And I think he's like 16 or 17 now.
Slacker.
So he's not even, and he's like, I don't know what he's rated. I can look it up real quick, though. Really high.
I think he's
like 1030, 1020s.
High 1020s.
Yeah. Where's Udisk?
I think I picked him up.
I have him.
No, he's good. Yeah. Aaron's got game.
I got him in the third round.
I was talking about Isaac Robinson.
Oh, yeah. Profile. Urbandale, Iowa. How do I look at his PGA number? Or his 1027 rated.
Nice.
That's a... I think he's won Junior Worlds like 3 times.
Still qualifies.
Yeah, still qualifies.
That'd be kind of funny. I wonder when it falls in like the tournament schedule.
Yeah, go play.
If you've got that weekend free.
Go win Worlds and go win Junior Worlds.
Yep. That'd be bunch wild, of script, dude. Mom. Stack them both in the same year.
Oh, you'd start. That would be the greatest start to a career ever.
I mean, it'd be hard to argue, yeah.
I think it's probably already like how... I don't know who has the most junior wins ever on NPO or the, I don't know, not going to call it FPO because it's not pro, but like the men's or women's side.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like what, you know, looking back 20 years from now, how do we view like greatest start to a career ever? Like Worlds obviously matters quite a bit. You know, Worlds and US, like majors, call it majors in general. That's certainly what they look at for golf. You know, Tiger's at 14, you know, Arnie's, you know, it's Jack's at 18, whatever.
I think Pro Tour wins are bigger than PGA Tour wins.
I agree completely. And I think that's what we're going to look at.
I think it's because there's less of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. If there was one every weekend, it would have the same effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's dilution. And I think that is what it is. So you look at like a Kyle Klein.
Yeah, who's crazy,
you know,
balling right
got now. Some. And Hamus is pretty young.
And Eagle's still young.
100%. And Eagle's stacking them.
Eagle has the greatest start so far.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, no Worlds, you know, yet, but
no,
he's, what, 22, 23, somewhere in there?
No USCGC, but he has 2 major wins.
The Estonian Open.
And Australian Open, right? Did he win Australian Open?
I know they made the crowned Eagle because he won... I believe it was the Estonian.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was the Estonia Open.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. There's a Wikipedia page for him now.
I think it very well might be just one, but I'm never surprised when he wins, so it could easily be more. But he's got, you know, what, 6 or something like Pro Tour events now?
So he's...
I feel like he got four last
He won Kona Piste Day.
Okay.
2018 Kona Piste Day, 2018 NT champion, so the whole series. Mm-hmm. So he only won major. 7-time disc golf pro tour winner and 4-time NT winner.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, and so that'll basically join together. So when we look at stats like pre-2022 and NT, I would assume will kind of be considered, you know, same. A pro tour win.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so it's just like elite event, I think, is probably the elite series. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's probably how we'll look at it. Like majors, you know, major, if you're going to build like a calculation, you know, for it, you know, the majors are worth like two or three, something like that, probably three or four.
I was going to go like something like a 10.
Yeah.
A 6 for a elite series and like a 2 for a silver series.
Sure, sure. I'm just thinking of the multiplier between an elite and a major.
Oh, yeah, that. 1.5 to 2 times, probably.
Yeah, I was thinking even more. I guess it depends, you know.
I think Worlds is like 3 times.
Yeah, yeah.
USDGC is like 2.5. Maybe the European Open one day will be that big.
European Open is dope, but yeah, it's like
a diluted field.
Is a big part of it.
It's harder to get as many of the field.
I want to see how fans, more so than players, accept the Champions Cup.
Yeah. They changed the format again?
Yeah, it's singles now. Okay. It's just regular format, I'm pretty sure.
Hey, they tried.
Yeah, and then shout out to them for realizing the backlash and pivoting.
True. Yeah, it's not easy to admit you're wrong. And
no.
Yeah, they did, you know, at least for now. And I think there's still a chance to do something, but, man, a major needs to be stroke play. Yeah.
Don't make it a major until it's like, if you want to make it, if your goal is to make that format so well accepted that many more tournaments do that, and then disc golf adopts it, and like, yeah, this is one of our formats, then you can maybe make it a major.
Like Pro Tour Championship is fine, because that's somewhere between, I don't know, I was going to say it's somewhere between a major and an elite series, but I think it's probably like just on par with an elite series, even though you feel like it should hold more, but the format, I think,
the format
takes it
down
a little.
It's somewhat of an exhibition.
Yeah. It is an exhibition. It's, to me, it feels more like the All-Star game than the All-Star event did.
And that payout spends, though, bro.
Jeez,
the payout's crazy.
Let's go. Missy Gannon, Nathan Queen, that payout spends.
And that is one argument towards it being a higher multiplier is just because so much is on the line.
Yeah, you don't think people want to win that? Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, that part of it, part of how it's viewed should be on how much the players want to win it. Like Worlds is up there, you know, it's almost a chicken egg thing. Like which came first? Mm-hmm. Does everybody want to win it because it's Worlds, you know, is it Worlds the most important tournament because everybody wants to win it? Like there's a little give and take there, but certainly that $30,000, no one didn't want to win that.
Yeah.
What I would rather have than like a format, I don't even know how you do it, but rather than like the one seed starts later or something, everyone starts at the same time, and then like certain seeds have like stroke advantages or something, and then they eliminate people each round.
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine with that.
So therefore, like everyone starts off like playing.
Yep.
Because I think a big issue is like someone gets hot and they're on a heater, and then Paul's got to come in cold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Paul hasn't played the course in tournament play. He probably hasn't played the course in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I agree wholeheartedly.
If you get like a 3-stroke handicap and a 2-stroke handicap, and then you're in.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you only have to beat a certain amount of people. Yeah. You know, the last place guy like needs to beat, you know, a certain amount of people.
Yeah.
But like, you know, some of the top four, it's like, all right, as long as you beat half the field, you're going to make it into, or I don't know.
There's some format with someone that's smarter than me that can figure it out. But everyone needs to start playing the first day.
I agree, because that's a disadvantage. It's almost like a bye in the playoffs, you know, it's not quite the same because the injury, you know, factor in, like, football, that bye week is great for rest, but certainly teams can start off slow, you know, players can start off slow if they're not in those tournament reps.
Mm-hmm.
Like, certainly, 100%. I think in that format, someone that has started day one has made the final group. I feel pretty comfortable saying that without even really looking.
Queen one.
Yeah. And like, I think I'm trying to remember who it was the year before that. Like Drew did Missy? Well. I think he might have had Drew a bye though.
I think Missy's first year didn't have many buys.
Chris Dickerson start on the like, I don't think he had a bye any of the times he won the championship.
I don't think he had a bye because he didn't play enough events.
I know, but that still goes into saying starting early is huge.
I think it's just, it makes it so whoever's hot has an advantage.
Yeah, and it's hard to be hot when you're not playing.
Yep, 100%.
Yep, we're all in agreement there. We'll talk. We'll make some calls.
Yeah. Sean Jack.
We'll find someone who disagrees. And
Mercy, tell Sean Jack if he's not listening.
Tell him to fucking listen. First of all, listen.
Listen. Second of all.
Not necessarily to us. Just
that's not
general.
Even Sean Jack, though.
What?
Oh, that is Sean Jack. That's PG. I was thinking, never mind. Don't listen to me.
Yeah. No, not. Not. We've, dude, Jomez.
Yeah, that's dope.
Jomez and Disc Golf Pro Tour. So Jomez paid $500,000 to the Disc Golf Pro Tour for the rights to air and advertise. Like, they're getting that. Jomez is getting the advertising revenue. I'm pretty sure is how the agreement goes. Mm-hmm. That they have the rights to sell all those spots to post-produce MP01 for the next 2 years, right?
Yep. That's how I read it.
That's cool. Like, we all knew it was coming. I think Steve Dodge was, like, he got so much flack. And, again, we've harped on it before. It's like, he was just too early.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was, what, now, like, 3 seasons maybe too early? The COVID one, I don't know. Like, my timing might be off. But when he did that, and then the way, you know, went about it, whatever, and hired, you know, outside camera crew, like, it wasn't perfect. And no one would say it was. But, like, this is the future. Like, that is how it's, you know, supposed to go. The future is going to be live. Yeah.
Yeah. That's just post-production.
The future is going to be live only. But yeah, post-produced, that's cool to see.
Yeah. The post-produced stuff you're going to see eventually is going to be SportsCenter style
highlights.
Highlight, quick cuts.
15 minute
pieces about somebody. Like, oh, here's a 7 minute piece on why James Conrad plays really great here and his backstory.
Mm hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're going to get more of that.
Yeah. That's, I love it. It's like, I wonder what the actual dollars are to at the end of the season, because you're releasing, you know, call it, it's 3 rounds on average. So you're going front nine, back nine. You have 6 videos that you're dropping on YouTube, and just the like YouTube money that's coming in. You know, if they get, say, 200,000 views, which I think might be a little lower than their average for an elite event. I mean, what's like the conversion roughly as far as views for, you know, how many dollars you're getting for?
I don't know. I've heard a lot of different funny numbers.
I mean, I feel like they're probably getting $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 per segment. I could be way off, but
yeah,
they're getting a chunk. Plus, they're able to sell ads. I think it's a win for both sides, like an easy win.
It generally is $3 to $5 per 1,000 views on YouTube.
So they're getting, say, 200,000 views. You know, that's they're pulling in a chunk. I love it. Yeah. I'm super happy for both sides. I think it's, and it does make me wonder if, like, is 2 years kind of what the Pro Tour is thinking for their timeline for going all live?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a long time in the sense of how, like, quickly things move in the internet world.
That's a very long time.
Yeah, 2 full seasons and how much, like, the arc that disc golf, the sport, is on.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good chance that the next year that's a very undervalued deal. And, you know, both parties knew what they were doing better than the three of us sitting here. Mm-hmm. That was really, really cool to see.
Maybe it's conservative in the sense that where they know that in 2 years they can come into it strong and have it just be right.
Yep.
And do it live and do it well.
Yeah, and I mean, I think they're ready. Dude, it looked pretty good today. Obviously, they had their issue that it didn't work on Disc Golf
Network.
And
it wasn't anything to do with them, supposedly. It was all Vimeo and
Amazon
issues.
Yeah, so I mean, it can happen to anybody. Like, our website can go down for reasons out of our control at any time. So it sucks for them that it was the first day of the season. But like, I thought that the cameras looked a little crisper. They're probably using new, you know, equipment, which they should probably upgrade every year.
Yep.
I thought it looked really good.
That's probably gotta be hard trying to sell cameras every year.
Yeah, I wonder. Or it's like, dude, you know, if we're ever looking for a camera, like, do we just trade? Hit them up?
Yeah. Like, hey, do you guys got any spare cameras laying around?
Yeah, put it on our tab. Yeah, so we had the 2 sets of walls last year as far as our advertising with the Pro Tour. This year we'll have branded barricades too, which I don't think I saw any today. And I know ours aren't ready, so I wasn't looking for ours, but I was looking to see what they looked like. And then we'll do an elevated basket too.
Yeah, I feel like the barricades at some courses will be like super prominent. And other courses will only be for like spectator type
things. Well, and it's tough at this one because they have three courses and the assets have to be spread out.
Yeah.
They're not going to like change them every day based on where the, you know, the cameras are, because you know, that's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even think about three courses.
Yeah. Man. I remember it at a Memorial. Yeah. Yeah. It was Memorial where they have Vista and the lake course, whatever that's called.
Fountain Hills.
It's intense to have three courses for a major tournament. It's intense to have three courses for any tournament, really.
I'm not a fan of multiple courses, really, unless they're like... I think
two is okay.
Yeah, I think two's okay.
Yeah, GMC.
I think I'd rather have one, but...
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you limit the amount of people that can come in, which from a pure viewing standpoint, which is mostly what we discussed, that's fine.
Yep.
You know, if we're running a tournament, which of course you know that we're part of, you know, a crew, I guess 3,000 Rated runs it with the Shawns. You know, we run the OTB tournament, or they do, and it's only one course, and so you know you are very limited on how many players that you can have in, and that's tough, because right now they're running AM Las Vegas Challenge too, right?
And Masters.
Sure. So they've got, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people out there. We're limited.
Positive on that.
What are we limited to? It's like I think it's high hundreds.
Yeah.
You know, and so you add another course, you can double that.
Yeah. That's a short term thing, though. Long term, all these courses are going to, pro tour events are all going to be pro only. 150.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like certainly. Max, 150 max. Yeah.
But if you have, you know, if you have the courses, you can run concurrent, which they're doing.
But see, I think we can run concurrent here, just not at Swenson.
Sure. You know, and we could do something at Oak and stuff, and you just need, you know, good crew and infrastructure. But
yeah, I think the three courses, like, pros don't need to play three courses.
I think there's a great argument for that.
Like, I don't think they want to play three courses.
Oh, no. Paul's probably not there because of it. One of the reasons, at least. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think it's weird.
I think it's great from, like, I am a player. Perspective of like, yeah, playing three courses, going on a road trip, going to a big tournament sounds fun, you know.
But getting a, like,
that's, if it's your job and you're like tasked with preparing for those courses to make a living, it is tough.
And I really hate that, like, you can make a mistake on a hole and you don't get to come back to it.
I know,
like, you don't get redemption at all,
yeah.
Like, that's not showing necessarily who's the best player.
And yeah, I suppose. It's all such a small sample size, but yeah.
It is.
If you get four rounds on the same course, it is, you know, at least a larger one. And
I think there's I understand. A lot of sports are going through, are you trying to find who the best team or player in the world is, or are you trying to create entertainment? Yeah. Like, ideally, you do both.
Yeah.
But, like, the more you cater to entertainment, the less you cater to, is this the best player and or team in the world?
Yeah, I think you try to go entertainment, but you would love for, like, an event like Worlds to be the best player winning, you know?
Yeah.
And you'd love it for, you know, NFL's the easy comp with it being the most popular league. You know, you'd love to be able to reward the best team. And it's usually just whoever's hot and healthy at the end.
Yeah.
And a good team that earned their way into the tournament.
Mm-hmm. Like, in baseball, I've always considered I don't always think the World Series winner... Like, I don't remember them all the time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm like, who the hell won that World Series? But I'll remember the team that, like the Mariners, when they won 116 games.
Sure.
And that was the best team maybe ever.
Yeah.
Like, they just didn't win in the postseason because someone else was hotter at the time.
Patriots, 17-0.
Yeah, Dolphins are the best team ever still, baby. 72. Two different quarterbacks.
From the guy who says that teams are, you know, players are always getting better. What's the best football team ever? 1972, brother.
I'm allowed to be a fan and have irrational thoughts every now and then.
Well, that's what a fan is.
I'm going to get a beer.
Yeah. Beer sounds good. Let's do some jazz music.
Kyle on the ones and twos.
Thank you, Kyle.
Sweet jazz.
Sweet jazz.
What do we have on tap?
We have Hoptomic Double IPA.
Yum.
Dark Reckoning Imperial Porter.
Very yum.
This is called Mist, like MIST, Connection.
Mm-hmm.
Mist Connection, Hazy Single IPA. Mm. We have the very, very, very end of that pomegranate sour from Blaker.
That's in the five spot, so the four spot?
The four spot is a double juicy IPA.
Oh, jeez, yeah. You were saying it was the only single on there, the middle one you just did. But and then there's nothing in the small?
No, because the small doesn't have
CO2,
or the line needs fixed.
Okay.
So we need Jake to bring a piece.
So we're rolling five deep right now.
We're rolling five deep right now, but we have a backup big keg in the small one.
Yeah.
Kyle, are we live?
Yeah, I think so. He said thumbs up.
Okay.
I can't hear shit.
Yeah, I can. Maybe I can hear. Oh, I can hear just fine.
Yeah, I can hear.
Oh, I can just hear now too.
I saw Kyle come in and the door opened and I was just confused.
Now we're all right.
We're fine. Yeah, Sammy tried to kill me in the break.
Sorry for that. I took a kidney shot to Aaron with a blowfly.
He threw a blowy at my back.
I was feeling real confident with him next to the basket.
It didn't hit me particularly hard.
No.
Just in the correct spot. Very and I was correct. Like, ooh. I didn't exactly know what happened. I was like, is that my rib? Like, what?
It's like,
why does that hurt?
That small rib that hangs off that belongs to Eve.
Yeah. It was just I
took it off.
I need to work out that part of my back so I get muscle there.
Now.
Yeah. That's what's going to make me work out my lower, your kidney area. How do you work that out?
If you pee obliques? Blood tonight, I'm very sorry.
Just drink more.
I've been hit there harder.
It'll work out the kidneys.
That's why.
Goes through the liver. Helps out the kidneys. Flank it. Go left, go right.
Go left, go right.
Touchdown.
Yeah. All right. I haven't had this beer yet. All of our beers except for the sour are from Morgan right now.
And they're very good.
Sour's Jake, Laker.
Ooh.
We need to get more high water, too, because those are the three ones, and we end up not getting high water, and basically they don't deliver to us.
Yep.
I'm down with that campfire stout.
And we get more Morgan because he's down to deliver Mondays or Fridays, almost every Monday or Friday.
Yeah.
And Jake's a little bit flakier than that on the days and when. Jake likes to take a sweet time.
I love Jake, though.
He's going to call it Flaker Brewing, but they don't deserve that.
He's not. I can't really say he's a flake necessarily all the time.
He shows up.
Most of the time he shows up. It's just a little late.
And he's working, bro.
He gives you a guesstimate of time, and you know it's consistently 2 to 3 hours after that.
Also, as my friend, I just block out whole days and stuff. Like, hey, dude.
Yeah, Austin's our friend, but he worked at Morgan before that, and so, it's a professional relationship.
Yeah.
Jake's been your friend for a very long time and now has a professional position.
Yes. So I'll let Jake off the hook a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's easier for Jake to let us down.
Yeah.
From his perspective, Aaron will be fine.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
Where Austin, he knows we'll be fine, but, he also knows it's a professional relationship.
Yep. I would love to drink beer with either of those two humans on any day of the week.
Anytime. Steve as well.
Steve also, yeah. I love Steve. Yep. Steve's great.
Now, the beer community seems pretty awesome, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At least for the most part. There's a few horror stories.
Sure.
What's it called recently?
Inevitable.
Founders recently has a lot of bad rap to
them. Yeah, that's true. Really? I guess it's hard as a blanket statement to say it's a great community because, by and large, it does seem to be, but there's always going to be.
I'm pretty sure Founders is getting sued for discriminatory practices.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm
it's
not.
Too bad. Amazing beer.
I'm not positive on that. They might not be getting sued, but there was a lot of shady type of things coming out of there, which is unfortunate.
Still, yeah. Still some of the tastiest beer I've had, though.
Yep. There's some real good
consistent
beer.
Consistent, great distribution.
Yeah. That all day IPA is a staple in a lot of people's disc golf or golf.
It's 4.5%, just easy drinking Centennial IPA. We shouldn't be shouting about now, but
it is good. All right. Sorry. Yeah. Blaker, though. Blaker,
anyway,
Morgan.
Blakers, yeah.
High Water. Go get those beer.
Mm-hmm.
High Water might be the only one that actually distributes decently across the country.
Do they?
Yeah. Talking to what happened, I guess. He's been doing it for a long time. They've been around a lot longer than Morgan or Blaker.
Yeah.
And I talked to Steve about it very drunkenly one night about how certain people just kind of latched on to his beer when they came and then moved and then reached out and he was like, I'll send it out there.
Yeah.
So he started sending it out. He goes, I think they go Texas out to Michigan.
Mm-hmm. And it's good beer. So really it'll, somebody else will pick it up at the store. And
the oatmeal stout travels.
And it'll stay.
Campfire stout. Yeah. The campfire stout is their number one seller, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
that makes sense.
It like IPAs are hard to sell across the country. Mm. You can ship a stout across the country and pretty easily.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Stout's probably better. Man.
Stout travels.
Stout travels and stout ages.
Have stout will travel.
Did you hear how many beers that Sarge said he had?
12?
Hundreds?
Like thousands.
Really? Oh,
I was bottles.
Yeah.
He said he's been, him and his wife have been collecting bottles.
Yeah, a lot of sours and stouts.
Sours and stouts.
They have some kind of basement.
They have like a room, yeah.
Yeah.
A chiller, a cold room.
Yeah, IPAs don't last that long. No. It's best fresh.
Fresh, super fresh. I mean, there's the story about, what's it called? Pliny, Russian River and Pliny, of them yanking it out of
BevMo's.
Of BevMo's because they weren't refrigerated. And that's why you can't find Pliny anywhere.
But wasn't like one of the origination of, and like India Pale Ale,
yeah,
so is all the hops so that it would?
It's the, I don't know exactly. It's basically so it could travel.
So it could go overseas.
Go overseas. I wonder if hops were added later.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, what like was it in there that?
Yeah, I don't.
That made it an IPA and the India Pale Ale.
I have no clue. I do know India Pale Ale started because beers were going bad on the shipments to from England to India.
That's one of my dad's favorite stories.
Yeah. That's He's like the folklore stories. Around it, at least.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
I would assume there's some veracity to it.
Yeah. You don't get the name IPA like that. I mean, never mind.
I was going to say. Never mind.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. As soon as I said it, I was like, that's not true. People are dumb.
Yeah. We're good at that.
I was going to say, especially pre-internet, because it's harder to fact-check things, but fuck. Dude, last couple years.
At our break, I just saw a tweet that says, do you think people are better now at political propaganda than they were 50 to 60 years ago?
I think it was a big bell curve of like really, really tough to fact check. And then it was like, oh, super easy in like the early internet days. And now it's like super tough.
Yeah. Now it's just everything is everywhere.
Yeah. People believe who's in their ear.
Mm-hmm. Maybe like it's gotten to the point where I just don't believe anything in that realm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or it's like COVID. I just don't trust any of it now.
Yeah.
I trust parts of it.
Yeah. I trust part of it is I don't care enough to like look.
The things I trust are like the
part of it,
like the studies mostly. You can go and like if you know what you're doing, you can go in and like.
I don't.
I barely do. I mostly have a smarter friend than me that I trust.
That's useful. Sort of what it comes to. But then again, like, are you almost building some sort of echo chamber again?
Yeah. I mean, always. You're always sort of building an echo chamber.
Yeah. I don't know. That's like super true.
Yeah. To a point, you have to listen to people, but at a point, you have to not listen to people. And that's a very, very weird.
You have to decipher on which people that you believe are smart enough to trust.
Sort of.
But that's a weird bias, too.
Rogan. Oh, it's a complete.
It's like, I'm usually wrong.
Not even going to do that.
Am I going to believe the people I trust because I'm usually wrong?
I'm going to believe the guy that just talks to people on the internet every day.
Joe Rogan?
Yeah, that's what he said. Rogan. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I don't even know where to fall on that line anymore.
Nah, me neither. I haven't listened to his stuff or many podcasts, really, and probably since Beverly was the last time I listened to a lot of podcasts.
I still listen to podcasts when I drive a lot, like just from here to there.
I listen to a Chargers podcast at this point. Anymore. It's usually Chargers podcast on the way in that's like 35 minutes, and so I'll get most of it on the way in because there's traffic. Mm-hmm. And then like the first 5 minutes of my drive home will be that, and then I'll put on music.
There's a few podcasts. Like I watch and or listen to the Jenkins and Jones podcast pretty religiously. They're just funny as hell.
Yeah,
it's very similar, like climb, like Desus and Mero.
That's what I was gonna guess.
Not all like more sports or driven for sure, but like kind of the similar Twitter personalities that started meeting each other and hanging out, and they all do it over like Zoom calls.
Yeah,
it's great. It's so funny. I watched that and or listened to it, and then I'd be getting into some weird like cult. Cult and like murderer stuff. And
cults are great.
Cults are like just super interesting to me.
It's great like anthropological case study type.
And thing. I don't think it's because like maybe a little bit of like my churchy background, like when I was real young.
Yep.
I got out of church at a youngish age, but I was also like, I went to some Pentecostal churches when I was young. So my grandpa was a pastor, and I think it's a little bit of that. Like, there's some wild stuff that happens in some churches.
Yeah.
Like, really wild stuff that happens in some churches.
Just started that show, The Righteous Gemstones, which is John Goodman. It's a, I think it's on HBO, yeah. And it's like basically mega church, for profit, yeah. All the shady shit that goes on behind it, like comedy, drama.
That sounds interesting. I want to
watch it. Aunt recommended it. And so I watched, I don't know, Teresa and I watched the first like two or three episodes maybe.
Yeah. And as soon as money starts getting involved with anything.
As soon as you put a hierarchy in anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be money.
Power.
Yeah.
And at that point, yeah, it's money and power.
Exactly. It's tied pretty well, but
it is. It
influence,
is tied pretty well.
Access, anything like that. As soon as you start putting that in, it's weird.
How do you take it out, though?
You don't.
Man, ever. Yeah.
We haven't figured it out yet as humans, I don't think.
Yeah. No. Like, I mean, you know.
People can like to consolidate power.
Yeah, it's something I know very, very little about, but like Buddhist temple, like the monks, like I feel like they might have some of that figured out.
Some of it, yeah.
But it's hard to imagine that there's none there.
They,
you know?
But they basically also just go like, there's no material possessions to them.
Yeah, and so that's like a big part of it. So that takes greed away.
That takes a lot of the greed away.
Is power still there, though?
I would imagine.
I think it's hard to picture it not being there.
Yeah. I don't know all the breakdowns of how the Buddhist... Is it a Buddhist church? Is that right?
Temple?
It's
what would you call
it?
Like,
it's a practice. It's not really a faith or a religion. It's more of a practice.
But is there like a... Like, you call it like... There is the Catholic Church, like the entity that is the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a Buddhist entity?
Like one all-encompassing?
Like someone that like tells you like, hey, like these are where like,
there's
you do this to become a monk.
The Dalai Lama is kind of their reincarnated.
Yeah, but superhero. is there a human structure to
like a hierarchy? You're wondering if there's a hierarchy?
Because I mean, no, I'm basically wondering if there's an entity that represents the Buddhism culture.
I think the Dalai Lama speaks a lot on that. I think I'm not that educated on it.
Yeah, I'm not an educator.
Yeah, I know so little about it. It's fascinating, though. It's very interesting to me. I'd like to learn more, but almost like the podcast is like, there's so many podcasts I want to listen to.
Yeah.
And I just don't end up, you know, choosing that for whatever reason.
Not enough time in the day to do everything.
100%. Yeah.
I started to read that book series, the Blank for Dummies.
Oh yeah,
sure.
The Buddhism for Dummies was a cool introduction to it, and I got maybe 3, 4, 5 chapters into it, but it seemed like a cool thing, and it harped a lot on there not being a religion, not being anything, but really just a practice of a way to live to cause less suffering was like the goal.
Yeah. That's always appealed to me as like the major religions. That's one that has seemed interesting. But again, you know, for better or worse, just have not, you know, made that time. Mm-hmm. I do find it very interesting, though. And, you know,
I just find it interesting because it's like, most of our past is based on like different religions consolidating power, doing different things.
There's a lot of that in history, no doubt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like why certain regions developed religions the way they did.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
I think it has a lot, and obviously my personal opinion, but I think it has a lot to do with culture and language. I think what's important to a place ends up being their religious tendencies, in a sense. Like Hinduism, for example, a lot of their individual like regions have certain, how do you call it? Like not, like they have these, they're demigods. They're all very real. They're in a plane of existence, but they all have their own, like we worship this demigod mostly. And I feel like it has a lot to do with what's important to them in their region and in their culture.
Yeah.
That ties a lot to like who they worship as their choice God in that region.
Yeah.
Well, certainly all was so regional early on with travel constraints and, you know, no TV, no internet type of thing. It's hard to get it very, you know, widespread without missions, you know, that type of thing. Yeah.
Interesting segue. This kind of reminds me of, I was listening to a conversation about LeBron recently at the All-Star game and how he went to Cleveland and just started talking to the Cleveland media, like all nonchalantly, like it wasn't going to spread anywhere.
Oh, sure.
And someone was talking about how in international soccer, players and coaches will play for like an English Premier League team. And then they go home to Italy to their home country and they speak to the media like very openly and like trash the places they're in. And I was like,
you don't think it's going to get back?
You don't think it's going to get back, but it's also like 2022. So there's a little bit of like, also like the language barrier a little bit too. Well, like you feel more comfortable, be like, they're not going to listen to this. This is in Italian.
Yeah.
So it's very funny.
$1 billion business. It's going to get back to them.
Yeah.
That's super funny. I'm
like, well, and it's like I've talked about it a few different times to disc golf, where Paul talking about Rick when he hadn't won anything, I felt like that was a sign of almost the immaturity of the sport. Not at all, Paul. You know, he was open and honest, but I feel like more mature sports aren't going to give that bulletin board material too. Or maybe it was a point of Paul's just like, I'm better. I know I'm better. Yeah. And it doesn't matter what I say, I'm still going to be better, you know? But like that was 2014, 2015. Mm-hmm. And Rick won 2016, 2017. I think, you know, and part of it was I'm going to work even harder than I was because he, you know, thinks this and said this. And that certainly is rivalry that elevated our sport, Bird Johnson, you know, Magic Bird type thing.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any possibility Paul was like, in order for us to grow, I need somebody else to push me?
There's certainly something to that, and like, he has thought that way before, where he goes, I need to do this for the sport.
Yeah.
I don't know that this was that calculated, because I don't think he wanted to lose.
No, but like saying, but like having someone to push you. Could push you to new heights type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he was never scared of that. I think he was certainly at a point in his ability where he felt super brave to say that, because it was real to him. He felt like there was no competition.
I just feel Paul is so calculated.
Sure.
Like everything he does is calculated. Like whether it's right or wrong.
Yeah, and maybe he said it to, you know, empower him a little bit and, you know, bring up the level of competition, but I don't think he said it so that, you know, Rick would win the next couple worlds.
No. I don't think he said I don't think he meant that at all. But
and I didn't think
but that having that's a what rivalry
going at, but
like having a rivalry is always better than not having a rivalry.
Sure.
And on the flip side, like if he were to say something like, "Oh, you know, it could be anyone's game," you know, that's a lack of confidence in a sense that I don't think he could have had. I think he just had that sense of confidence and he had the ability to back it up to where
he almost had
no choice but to say something like
that. I'm not even talking about like whether he would say he's better than other people or not. I'm just saying like he singled out Ricky for a reason.
Because like, he was always the one there. And I think it was
like
after
Schusterick was also always there.
No, I know. But I think it was after that 2014 playoff and they were talking about the playoff. And then he brought it to a broader spectrum of if Rick's going to win and he's going to win going away. And I know if it's close, I'm going to be able to beat him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like and he's I think the question was almost directed towards them too.
100%. Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't around then. That was before I played.
Yeah, I believe that was like 2014. It might have been even after 2015, and then he was like, you know, he had won the Grand Slam, and maybe he was referring. I'd have to go back. I want to see that, you know, when that article was, because I do refer to it often enough.
And it's almost like me saying I can definitely throw farther than Jared, because, I mean, not only is it true, I feel like I'm in a place in my career where, where I have the confidence to be able to challenge him to push me.
Sure. Yeah, right. If he actually started working harder to be able to throw farther, you would work harder to still be able to throw
if
farther.
If he put in an effort, I'd have to put in
It's like
an
when
effort.
Jared was throwing in the thing today, and then someone was like, hey, Aaron threw 66. And Jared's like, let me go get my shoes. Yeah. It's the same thing.
Let me put my baby away.
Yeah. And he knew, too. He knew that I think he knew you were at 66, and then Phil just said something again before he left, where he's like, oh, I got 66. And he's like, okay. And so you didn't beat Aaron's. And he's like, I'm going to go put my shoes on because he's wearing slippers.
Yeah.
It was funny.
I'm going to buy a whiteboard and put it up in there.
Yeah.
And have like a, put all of our names on there and our best throws.
Yeah.
Speed wise.
I think it'd be real interesting too, especially if we decide to record a lot of this, to have a running average and your best.
Oh, sure. I am going to be, whenever I go in there to throw, I'm going to input, I'm almost done with that class on Excel. So I'm going to be able to mess with it a little bit better.
Yeah.
I'm going to import all of that stuff into Excel, and then you can do so many different things.
Excel is the best when you know how to use it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I barely know how to use it, and it's already like, oh, there's way more things than
Excel's amazing. So many things export and import with Excel too. Mm-hmm. Like it's so universal.
Yeah. Those just like CSV files, just super simple.
Yeah. Use it all the time. I think I'll be pretty squarely in fourth for a lot of it. I don't think I throw, even when healthy, I don't think I throw as hard as you two or Jer.
You have way better nose angle control than me. And that's why you throw further, I think.
I need to work on
matters.
Getting it nose down. Like, I think about Sam's tip of, tipping that nose down sometimes, especially after a bad shot where, I'll sky it a little bit. Like, I got to be, focusing on that a little bit more until it becomes second nature.
Also, when I hit 66, I would never throw like that on a course.
Nah, true.
I also really want to get a little bit more room and do a 360 drive because I can hit 70 with a 360 drive pretty easy.
I think I'll be able to clear 60 easily enough, but I don't think I've ever been like mid-60s, high-60s.
Yeah, 60 is actually, I've thrown a couple that I was like, oh, that was 60? And like not really trying to throw that hard.
Okay. Smooth as far.
Yep.
It's fast as far.
The faster you can throw smoothly.
I guess. I just completely disagree with that. There's so many good people that throw far as fuck that don't throw smoothly.
This could easily go down.
Oh, crazy hole. I just think it's...
Yeah.
Like anyone that says slow is smooth, smooth as far is wrong.
It's clutch, though. Just like I feel like those two arguments could easily go for way too long, and we don't need to put you lovely people through that.
No. No, we're done.
Yeah.
Watch anyone that throws far, though, and they're throwing fast.
High jerk.
I'm not even talking about jerking. I'm just talking about being fast. That's it.
Fast in the right spot, though. I think that's obvious, but it bears, I think, saying to anyone who's just like, okay, I just needed like a fast motion.
Oh,
People are so slow going into that hit point a lot of times.
A lot of times, yeah. But
when people can't break 300,
they're throwing hard and they're fast.
Yes.
Like, so the slow is smooth. It's just throw that out the window, please. It's bad.
I think it's something good to tell like a beginner.
I think it's good to tell about a quarter of the population that moves too fast already.
Sure.
And it's one of those things. It's a thing you talk about when you have that issue.
Yeah.
It's not a thing you tell the masses.
I wonder how common of an issue he feels like it was or is. Danny Lindahl.
Is that who? I've been hearing that since before.
That's where I've heard it.
Okay.
I'll say that.
I feel like I've heard that more than just in disc golf. But I think where smooth is far is a big issue, and where I've seen people not breaking 300 feet is because they're trying to throw so smoothly.
Yeah.
That they're not, like, you have to tell them, like, pretend someone just slapped your dog or something and you're about to backhand the shit out of them. That's what you need. Like, you need to be a little bit aggressive in that jerk.
I think people need to go train and try to throw as hard as they damn well can, like, once a week or so. And don't care about your form. Just care about moving your muscles.
Or where it goes.
Just care about moving your muscles fast.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other days, really focus on throwing form with good form. And then it'll be way easier when you try to throw 90%. Your 90% now is way higher because you've learned how to throw hard.
And also work on putting twice as much.
Yeah, work on putting more than anything.
You do have to connect the pieces, and I think that's where the smoothness factor comes in, is it's a dance. You have to have that kinetic, or that potential energy turn into kinetic, and there's an efficiency in that, and that's the smoothness
without waste
talking about.
So watch, my thing is Kyle Berkshire, the guy, he has the fastest balls. He's the longest hitter in golf ever. Watch his swing.
Sure. Oh, and it's violent.
It's the craziest. Dude, he opens up his left side, like, out of the way. Mm-hmm. Like, it is the most. He has long hair, and you see his hair, like, just yanking around. Mm-hmm. Like.
He's not on the tour.
But that he's on the tour, but he's one of the best drivers ever.
That acceleration curve is, there's a consistency behind the acceleration. And I think that's what the smoothness is. Yeah, there's violence in it.
Sure, I guess. You're just talking about now you're talking about an acceleration curve. When
I agree.
When anyone else talks about smoothness, they're talking about how the body looks.
Which is, I agree with you, incorrect.
I mean, there's people that throw violently that throw hard as hell.
Thanks, man. So much fun stuff coming in these days. That is cool. So we got the Katrina discs, which the Rift has been out. They're mid-range, but a special stamp on it. And then the new Proto, does it have a name?
No.
Okay. So new prototype driver.
DGA, make it have a name, please.
It feels good.
It does feel good.
I want to throw one. I haven't thrown one yet.
It feels great. I just think it's a little crazy they don't have a name for it, and it's released.
Yeah, like... I'm trying to think. I don't think there has been another.
It's called the limited edition Proto Driver.
Yeah, interesting.
The closest thing would be the D2 Proto, right?
No, because it's
no,
D2.
No, that's D2 Pro.
Yeah. Just so many. It was like it was the Macbeth, you know, the Kong, and then they, you know, they changed it to the Zeus. But
sure.
I think, yeah, traditionally it does kind of have a name when it comes out, and it's a prototype version of the name. Ledgestone Wave 2, which... releases tomorrow, and we might end up doing a pre-order. We talked about it for just a split second during the break. But yeah, our shipment's delayed. But we have wave two of Ledgestone, which is always fun to get in, like, you know, 12 molds or something in a plastic that's not normally offered. The Dynasty, which is a CD2, right?
Supposedly.
That's the word on the street. No one's
confirmed it. Yeah. Zero people that I have seen that I trust have confirmed it.
So it's all rumor. It does feel a bit like it. Yep. The flight numbers, I think, are identical.
It's slower. It says it's a 9-speed, and I'm pretty sure the CD2 is a 10.
I got a dollar on 9.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. It could be wrong. I'm pretty sure I had a CD2 I threw a lot, and I'm pretty sure it said 10 on it.
Okay. What else? The Clash discs. We just got those in Doka.
Berry Popcorn Mint.
They go live tonight?
Yeah.
I think they go live tonight, yeah. Three discs, all putters, technically. The mint is kind of mid.
The berry is a mid. The berry's a 5-5, -1-1 or something.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Understable, slightly understable mid.
Buzzish, sort of.
Plastic feels good.
Yep. Got some weird, markings on the top.
Nico's new sponsor is definitely the splash that they made.
Yeah.
His new co-sponsor.
Yep, the new gateway.
Mm-hmm. And then what else we got? Oh, we got a compass for... Connor O'Reilly, which this is exclusive to us, and it's a Opto Chameleon compass. It says Ice Burst on it, too, not on the disc, but on the boxes it came in. Mm-hmm. So we ordered, a Chameleon compass. And it says Ice Burst. I don't know if that's, an internal use type thing or if it's expected to be, a plastic that they, kind of roll out and name it that. You can see a little bit of the burst in it for sure.
Yep.
It is clear, so I guess, just ice first there, but they are pretty, yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of colors, too.
Yeah.
Yellows, greens, purples, pinks, blues.
I feel like last time we got plastic similar to that, it was all that blue-gray. So it's cool to see different color variations.
That, purple-green-blue chameleon that they do is so pretty.
The box says gray that has those.
That has those? Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Those and a little bit lighter colored ones.
So those, we haven't teased those at all, but I think Jared loaded up a couple boxes today, so they're more or less ready.
Drop them tomorrow, probably. Mm-hmm. They'll already be dropped when this gets released, I'm imagining.
Nice. That'll be fun. We'll have to hit up, have you talked to Connor yet?
No, I haven't. Okay. I'm going to reach out to him.
Yeah, no, you're going
to
hit him.
I wanted to get all the clothes situated first before I reached out to him.
We got some Connor merch.
We got Connor merch coming. Some dad hats and big safari hats. And
let's chat with him and get on the same page if he wants to, do a little bit of a rollout or for any reason he might want to wait. But those will be dropping soon.
Yep. In the next week, I would imagine.
100%. Yeah. Possibly weekend or even tomorrow. But
yep.
Yeah. So I think that's all I had written down for disc. But so much stuff coming in right now.
Yeah.
We haven't had to search too hard to find something to load for a while, and there was definitely times of that. But big MVP order coming in with the Envies and the Orbitals, Innova dropped their Tour Series Team Champion. Mm-hmm. They've dropped the T-Bird now for Jen Allen, and the Wraith for Garrett Gerthy, and the Rock 3 for Hannah Blumers for the star team, I'm pretty sure, and just got stock Discraft in with more Lunas first time in a while with the stock the stock Luna. And yeah, now Ledgestone coming in too. It's just rolling lots in. Coming in.
If you need some Z Flex heat, please buy them.
Yeah, we've got a lot of heat. It's funny, we've talked about this before, how differently like Jer and I look at the website. And we don't want more than like 100 variations of anything on one single page. But I'll look at like the Vulture, for example, and there's like there's a ton of Vultures up front right now with like the Haley King Tour Series Swirl ones. There's Big Z ones. There's ESP ones. There's TI Swirl Ledgestone ones. But I'll look at like the ESP page and go, oh, there's like only 30 on there. Like we got room for more Vultures from the way I look at the site.
Yeah. On 70.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably how the way it should be. Like if you can stock every plastic of everything. Like
I mean, it's how 98% of our customers interact with our stores online. Yeah. So that's how they, you know, view it. And, you know, we're getting low on, you know, one plastic of, you know, an AVR or something where it doesn't look like it with a whole shelf full of them out front.
And I've certainly been on the side of bring it the fuck on, we'll make space. Yeah. But it is funny seeing like, oh my God, more felons.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God, more heat.
I think ideally like, though, we'd have 100 of every plastic type of every mold on.
Just about, I mean, like, based on demand, anything popular, yes.
Yeah. 100%.
I remember early on, you're like, I want to have at least two or three of every disc.
Yeah, I wanted six. I still kind of stand by this. I want six of absolutely everything. And then that's even gone up where now it's probably like, you know, take the least popular disc. I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but take the disc you've heard of that, you know, nobody throws. We want probably a dozen of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, some different colors, some different weights, and if there are multiple plastic types, you know, probably want like a dozen of every single disc of like every plastic type. And then, yeah, 100 at least of everything popular with, like, 100 to back it up. Because especially after the last couple of years, we don't know when we might be able to restock some of these things. So it's definitely a little bit of, like, fear-based buying. But, yeah, that's we want all the stuff. So I think it was Harps I brought up a little bit ago. It's like, we're well-stocked on Harps. But I'm like, yeah, these have the Huck Lab stamp, and they, you know, they sold well.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, we were sold out on these. And it's like, more Harps. Sam's like, you know, because it's like it's so much shelf space, but great disc.
Yeah.
Ricky's
yeah.
throwing the crap out of it. Like, they're, you know.
I'm excited to see Ricky's new disc.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be a straighter, thumb tracked harp.
Oh,
it's straighter. Yeah. I wouldn't say a pig is straighter than a harp, though.
Or is it culture?
I feel like it's closer to a rhino, but like harp feel. This is what Ricky teased, is an approach disc that has a thumb track
that's
straighter than the harp.
It's cool that he's bringing the thumb track to it.
Yeah,
I think it's probably a ploy for newer players that started playing.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I think it's exactly his specs that he wanted.
Oh, I don't think he would throw a disc he didn't like.
Sure. I also think he saw how successful the pig was and how much people loved
the harp
loved
was
that
successful.
Yeah,
that though.
I think what it is, I think Ricky's sort of, he's pretty business savvy.
Yeah.
And I think he probably realized how many new players there were in the sport that only know him by the thumb track and also like the thumb track.
And new discs sell.
He kind of alluded to it a little bit in his post he made about how like people like thumb tracks. Like
I've never liked them for like I've always liked to feel the harp better than the pig, but
same.
I think it's like I don't know that there's ever been a better thrower of the overstable straight to overstable putter than Rick, where he made that harp super popular.
That's why I throw it.
And then the pig, and when he first started like first three or four tournaments, it's like, oh, he's missing the harp or whatever, and then he like figured the pig out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it, worked really well for him. So now it's cool for him to be in a position of like, I threw, both of these for, at least a couple solid years, if not longer. And now what did I love about both of them? Let's try to create the perfect one, for him.
I think what it might be for like me, a brand new harp is great. It's amazing. But like sometimes when you beat up a harp to fly like a straight harp, it'll feel all chunky and a little beat up, because it takes a while for a harp to beat up.
Yeah.
Like, they hold their stability pretty well.
Pigs, too, probably.
Yeah. Are pigs straighter than
I don't harps? Know. It's such a, like, a comfort level and, like, a personal opinion feel type thing, almost like a beaded putter versus beadless, mm-hmm. where the thumb track just never sat with me, but some people swear by it.
Mm-hmm. I'm, like, I don't really care about beads that much.
Yeah.
I like the feel of the Luna, and I putt with Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, I want the bottom to be rounded more than sharp.
Sure.
Like, that's my, more than a bead. I don't really care about the bead part.
Yeah.
It's just, is it round or not?
I messed around with the beaded for a little bit, but otherwise I've been beadless like 21 of the 23 years or whatever I played. Yeah. Yeah.
I made a big transition to beaded and tried to leave it for a second, went back, couldn't leave again.
I left for the Wizard to the Luna for a little bit, and it had nothing to do with the feel for why I went back to the Wizard. It had to do with the disc kept going too far when I missed.
Yeah.
And the Wizard will drop. And I kept missing high also. Like, yeah. I would miss, like, off the band. I don't miss high ever. Like, I do every here and there, but I miss low a lot.
To the right.
That was this weekend.
Yeah, it was.
Or last weekend, I guess. I putted so bad.
Yeah.
Best I drove in a long time. I haven't played in a long time either, but
yeah,
I drove pretty damn good. Forehand has been on fire.
Nice.
I feel like I throw further now. Forehand, at least.
Forehand is feeling real good as well. Definitely covering some distance.
I definitely juiced that one on 10. Sammy saw it. Almost threw it in the road.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a bomb.
I threw it, and I just, as soon as I threw it, I knew the angle. I throw almost as hard as I can to get there. It's kind of like a, for those that don't know, there's an alley. It finishes right with some thick grass, so you got to throw it hard to get through the thick grass.
Yeah, it's probably 350.
Low ceiling, kind of, late.
Definitely. You got to hit a tunnel, but there's danger left and long for
yeah.
OB.
Yeah, and then I kind of like, short left is worse than, like, it's closer than right, like, the left side of the long OB is closer than the right side of the long OB. That makes sense.
And, like, sort the of. Perfect shot is just a powerful, powerful sawed-off forehand.
Yeah, if I could get a flare to go that far.
Yeah.
That's kind of the flight.
PD2 maybe would have been a good
that's
choice.
Probably what it was. But I threw it, and as soon as I threw it, I'm like, that's the right power and just the wrong angle.
Yeah.
Like, and it just, like, started flexing.
Yeah, that touch of turn.
And it started,
like,
flexing,
fuck.
And I'm like, oh, my God.
It's like just ace run the short.
And someone's like, damn. And I'm like, that's OB. And as soon as the only words in my mouth are like, that's OB. Like, and it was OB by, like, 60, 45, 50 feet. I don't know.
Yeah, not even close.
Not nowhere near. I can bear it. Like, I don't know how it ended up where it did. Like, me and Sammy saw it, and it was, like, skipping right, and I must have hit something because it was in the, like, road next to the gutter, like, leaning, like, okay. Super far left.
And yeah, I'm and like, it just kind of squirreled around. Yeah. Discs do something. Weird things on concrete asphalt.
Yep. Yeah, discs do super weird things.
Physics, they're fun.
Yep.
Yeah.
Most so. Of them. Sometimes, why did that happen?
That was a fun tournament, though.
It was.
Sammy smashed.
I smashed.
Me and Sammy were, like, the same round a lot, and then, like, he pulled a couple strokes ahead of me, and then he finished with 9 in a row, and I was just, like, throwing discs OB and things.
Dude, I that was the first tournament in an extremely long time, maybe one of the better tournaments, where I wasn't missing putts, and the misses I had were hitting basket, but inside 28 feet, I don't think I missed.
So
I'm jealous. I might have been as good as
you.
I
am too. I'm like, what the fuck happened? Like,
I'm normally a great putter, but it's my best part of my game generally.
Uh-huh.
Like, I feel like I'm not really super great at any one thing, but I'm the best at putting. And I putted fucking awful.
Height was great.
I was just, dude, I don't know what happened. I've missed right so many times.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, dude, what are you doing? I folded a harp in half. Dude, harps can fold in half, and then they get folded back, as long as you fold them up at least, as far as I know. And they're great afterwards.
Manipulating yeah.
this. Your last throw, on, well, it was 18, yeah.
Yeah, I just walked up, and I was like, ah.
Just a dummy throw. Like, ah, that went pretty straight.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was a little frustrated at times, but.
Yeah.
I was happy that Sammy smashed for multiple reasons. Obviously, love to see the homie kill it. And then it was one I took off to rest. And I always hate, like, there's been many times where it's like, couldn't make a tournament for whatever reason, and somebody wins with some sorry-ass score.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I could have beat that. It's like, Sam shreds a 27. It's like,
no.
That's very, legit. Very tough to beat.
Yeah.
What did you shoot, 13 the first round?
I shot 13 the first round and then 14 the second.
Dude,
just so did not
20
par.
Holes, but still 20 super impressive.
I parred twice in a row once the whole fucking tournament.
We started off the first round. Me and Sam were on the same card together. And we just went like every other hole for like 7 holes.
Mm-hmm.
Like I got one, he got two.
My teepad. My teepad.
Just like going back and forth.
Yeah.
And then I had like 2 things of bad luck. And then
you threw OB, and then it was just, like 3 strokes, and then I went on a fucking
And then you went on a tear, and then I just started getting like, then I just missed another putt after that, and then I flipped.
Then you got mad.
Oh,
and
I hit through the
in a hole.
Oh, that was on 10 again, the same damn hole as the week before.
Yeah, you like
I rolled my ankle, and like at first I was like, this hurts. Like that was a deep roll, but I caught it, so it wasn't that bad. And then, like, I started walking on the fairway. I'm like, now my back hurts. Like, this is a little weird. And then, like, 2 holes later, and I didn't feel my knee or my ankle or my back, and my knee hurt. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, all right.
When you jolt the body.
Like, this sucks. It was a deep hole. That course is great, but when it gets mowed, it lays over all the holes.
Yeah. There are
and there's
a lot
of holes.
I don't think it's as many holes as, like, a Modesto. Or maybe even Lodi probably has fewer.
But Modesto doesn't have as much grass.
No,
the grass hides the hole.
But yeah.
There's a couple fairways at Stockton that are dangerous.
Hole 10, twice in a row for me. Yeah. So, love that hole, though. It's probably my favorite hole on that side.
It's good.
I just like it. I like
7 in the long.
I just throw the forehand every time, so I don't ever throw the hyzer. And I just like the tunnel aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. And like the 5 in the long.
5.
The par 3.5.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I haven't played it in a long time.
I like 6 in the long, I think.
6 in the long's dope.
To
reach it in the air is just a fucking laser.
I throw a roller almost every time. 16
in the long I like quite a bit, too.
Yeah. I like 4 in the long a whole lot.
We like all the things in the long. Yeah. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. I can't wait till there's more sunlight and we put everything in the long.
Move the course to play the par 72.
Par 72, baby. I'm going to be throwing 74 miles an hour by then.
I won't be.
No. But I'll be winning.
We'll see.
All right, folks. Go out there, play disc golf, beat your friends.
Yes.
Peace.